We all have a list of hit songs. These are hit songs, top hit songs for senior citizens. Don't be grinning, Don. You're getting there now. Okay, so we're going to, here they are. They're hymns, so we can use them in church. This is one of my favorites. Precious Lord, take my hand and help me up. How about, it is well with my soul, but my knees hurt. Oh, nobody knows the trouble I have seeing. This is bad. Come on, y'all. Just a slower walk with thee. Count your many birthdays, name them one by one. Go tell it on the mountain, but speak up. Blessed insurance. Anyway, all right, one more. I know when I'm licked. This is my favorite. I save the best for last. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I've forgotten where I parked. And that's the truth. Yeah. You know, in our day, folks, Christians, real Christians, often, and you see this quite often on the news. You know, I watch the news a couple of times a month, and you see Christians being accused of being intolerant. We should be. How many of you want to be like Jesus? All right, understand this. Jesus was intolerant. And that's very important that we understand that, because our modern society and our modern world, even modern Christianity, has taken Jesus and put him off over here where he's just this little guy that is there to give you what you want, and to say that everybody's good and everything is beautiful in its own way and all of that, which is totally diametrically opposed to what the Word of God says about Jesus. In Matthew 12, Jesus cast out a demon from this person, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, attacked him and said that he was a demon. Well, Jesus said, you know, that's kind of funny, that's silly. Why would a demon cast out a demon? That doesn't make any sense. And then he makes this statement in Matthew 12, verse 30. We're going to use a lot of scripture, but this is one that I want to begin with, that is the premise. He says this, "He that is not with me is against me." Now that's pretty intolerant, Nick. If I come to you and I say, Nick, if you're not on my side, you're my enemy. That's pretty, you know, it's not, well, we'll just agree to disagree. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, if you are not on my side, you are against me. And folks, it's all the way through the New Testament, and we need to understand that. And we need to think about that. George H. Morrison said this. He said, "We shall never understand our Lord if we fail to take account of His intolerance. We have heard much of the geniality of Jesus and of the depth and range of His compassion, nor can we ever exaggerate in warmest language the genial and generous aspect of His character. But it is well that the listening ear should be attuned to catch the sterner music of that life, lest missing it, we miss the fine severity which goes to the perfecting of moral beauty. Whenever the Spirit of Jesus is at work, there is found a sweet and masterful intolerance. The one thing that the gospel cannot do is to look with easy good nature on this world that we live in. My friend, write this down. Jesus was intolerant toward the world and the people of this world who are controlled by Satan. Let's pray about this before we continue. Father, we come before you and we think about this that just goes against all the political correctness we see all around us, and even within the church, Lord, we're all so busy trying to be correct politically that we're missing it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to look at your word and see what it says and see what your son Jesus said, because we're supposed to be like him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was intolerant toward the people of this world, but it is not a cold intolerance. Understand that. To be cold and mean would be alien to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came and he died on the cross for the lost. Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. Jesus is God, and God is love. But in spite of that love, write this down, Jesus does not condone or tolerate sin on any level. Does he forgive sin? Yes, he did. That's why he died on the cross. Will he forgive you as a Christian when you mess up and you sin? Yes, he will. If you will turn from that sin and confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But does Jesus in any way say that that sin is okay? No, he doesn't. And in our society and in the modern Christian church, we're very close to saying that Jesus says sin is okay. I've heard people say, oh, I'm covered by grace, so I can do whatever I want to do. I've had people tell me that, church members that were members of my church. And I said, well, you're in sadly mistaken if you think Jesus says that what you're doing is okay. Does grace cover it? If you are really saved, it does. But the way you are acting, you are not really saved, because you are not under conviction. And when you sin, if you're a Christian, you come under conviction of God. And we who are Christians know exactly what that is. Because when we sin, even little sins, we come under conviction of God. And we stay under conviction of God until we turn from that sin. We repent and we confess and ask God to forgive us. And while we are not to condone and tolerate the sin on any level, understand this, we're also not to be mean about it. Understand that. Don't expect as a Christian people who aren't saved to act like they are. You, as a Christian, you have enough trouble acting saved yourself. How many of y'all struggle sometimes? You know, somebody cuts you off at Walmart, you know, in the parking lot. You don't want, you know, you just want to whip out that 44 and not shoot them, just their tire. But you know what I'm saying? It's hard to act like a Christian when you are one. Yet we expect lost people to act like they are Christians. They're not going to do it, and they can't do it anyway. And being mean to them doesn't help. At the same time, we are not to, in not being mean, condone their sin. Understand that. That's very important. We should leave the judgment to God, and we should present the gospel, and we should stand against sin on all levels. You know, I've often been accused of being an old fuddy-duddy because some of the things I stand against, you know. I'm sorry. That's what I am. But if I believe in my heart and according to the clear teaching of the Word of God that something is a sin, I'm going to stand against it. I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not. I'm sorry if it offends people. Hopefully it doesn't offend you guys, but you know what I'm saying. We all need to stand against sin. Well, we don't need to be mean about it. We don't need to go down there, you know, we need to stand against abortion, but we don't need to go down there and burn the abortion clinic down with all everybody that works there in it. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't accomplish anything except make it worse. Remember that Christ died because of intolerance. Here's what happened. Write this down. Jesus took a stand and refused to back down. Here's what his stand was. He said, I'm God. Okay. Now you would think, you know, that would be enough to set some people off. If somebody walked back in the back door back here, and I had this happen to me one time. Somebody, you know, the Hattiesburg Police Department called and I said, are you a preacher? And I said, well, kind of. And I said, well, you need to come over here. We got a problem. And I went over there, and it was this big old guy, probably, I don't know, 350 pounds or so. He was about 6'11", huge guy. And he introduced himself to me as God. And those cops didn't know what to do about that because they were scared of him because he really was. I mean, he got very upset anytime somebody didn't believe that he was God. You know, but I happened to know his brother, and so I called his brother. His brother came over and got him and took him back to the mental ward where he got out of. But what I'm saying is, if somebody says that, what is your reaction? You think they're what? Lulu. They're crazy. Anyone that says they're God is crazy. Or they are Satan. Because he wanted to be God. That's why he rebelled. So here are these religious leaders. They've arrested Jesus, and they can't find anything wrong with him until he says, I am God. He could have gotten out of it by backing down and saying, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm not really God. But he refused to back down. That's why he was crucified. He was crucified. In Matthew 12, verse 30, He said, you know, he made a stand, and we are Christians. If we back off of that stand, we're against him. And that stand is Jesus was God. And if we refuse, if we say anything else, we are his enemy. In Exodus 20, verse 3, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. And so Jesus being God, we must stand with him, or we will be eternally lost. In Acts 4:12, he says, there is no salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. But Jesus, because of his stand about being God, was crucified. Matthew 26:63. Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And the priest tore his robe and said that he has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, we have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all answered, he deserves death. And Jesus never backed down, and Jesus was crucified for telling the truth that he was God. He was so intolerant and so uncompromising about who he was that they killed him. Why did he do this? He did this to set an example for us. We need to stand firm on our beliefs about who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ came to do, and that he is the only way to come to God. Now, there are four areas where Jesus was intolerant, and quickly we want to look at those. First of all, he was intolerant toward hypocrisy. Write that down, hypocrisy. Matthew 23:13 says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." So why is Jesus so intolerant toward hypocrisy? It was keeping people from being saved. Now, understand this. One of the main issues I have as a pastor when I talk to somebody about coming to know the Lord, the number one thing that people will say about this church and every church I've ever been in is there's just a bunch of hypocrites up there at that church. I mean, every church, and you could probably go to any pastor anywhere, Bradley, and ask them if they have ever had anyone say that their church was full of hypocrites, and every one of them is going to say, yes, they have, because that is the common complaint of people. And quite frankly, there are hypocrites in the church. And they do cause people to not come to Christ. A lot of times, though, it's usually just a cop-out because they just don't want anything to do with Jesus. But let's just be honest with each other. Lots of times, we all are hypocritical at times. And we need to be careful because that can cause someone to come to Jesus. And that was what these guys were doing. They were saying, you can't come to God through Jesus, or you got to do the law. You got to do this, 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 and this, and this. And he's saying, you hypocrites, you can't even keep the laws yourself, and you're telling other people they can't be saved unless they keep them, and you can't even keep them. That was the problem he had with it, because they were keeping others from being saved. It's bad enough they're not saved. And then secondly, he is intolerant in his uniqueness. In the bulletin it says this, but John 14:6, it says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." He didn't say he was a way. He said, "I am the way, the only way." Jesus is the only way to God. No other religion is. Jesus is the only truth. No other scientific information that we can discover on our own will lead us to salvation. Jesus is the only way to eternal life. No other religion, no other moral code can give you eternal life. No one can go to the Father, God, heaven, except through Jesus. That's pretty intolerant of other religions, isn't it? You know, Jesus wouldn't be very popular on the news nowadays. Jesus wouldn't be very popular when they start interviewing him for CNN and all of that, and he starts telling what he believes, that, you know, the Muslims are going to be upset. Probably the women will be upset. The homosexual agenda, they'll be all upset. Almost everybody that's anybody in control of our nation is going to be upset if they interview Jesus and see how intolerant he is toward those things. And Jesus, and this will get to many of us, Jesus was intolerant in sharing allegiance. Matthew 8:22. Jesus says to a person, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury their dead." Now, this guy wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to be one of the inner circle. Okay? So he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus told him, he said, okay. And the guy said, but let me go and bury my father. Okay. And what he's saying is, my father's more important than you are. You know, the verse before, in verse 21, it says, another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." Now the scenario is, folks, the father hadn't died. I remember when I was a kid, I used to think, Jesus, man, what's wrong with you, Jesus? The poor guy's father's daddy's dead, and you won't let him go home to the funeral. Well, that's not what it was. The guy's father wasn't even really sick. He wanted to wait 10, 15, 20 years till the father died, then after his father, you know, it's probably putting pressure on him not to go. He's a disciple of Jesus, and he's following him around. And his family's upset. His father's lost a laborer, you know, and he's upset. He's getting some pressure put on him. And Jesus says, okay, come with me. You can come with me. And he says, well, let me go home and wait till my father dies and bury him, and then I'll come. You know, his father hadn't died. They weren't waiting for the funeral. Folks, write this down. Jesus will not tolerate or share your allegiance. Nothing should be more important to the Christian than Jesus. Nothing. Not even your family. We worship our families here in our nation. Many churches worship families, you know. And I'm going to be honest with you. When you follow Jesus, you surrender to the ministry, you know, your family becomes less important to you than Jesus. And when Jesus tells you to go somewhere overseas, you go. Now, when you get married and everything, you take your family with you or whatever. But understand that, you know, this man wasn't married yet, and he was allowing his mama and daddy to keep him from following Jesus. And mama and daddy, don't you put yourself in a position where you want to come between your child and Jesus. Don't you ever do that. You will regret it. I've seen it, and you will regret it. And Jesus won't tolerate you doing it either. And finally, Jesus was intolerant in demanding that we make a choice. Famous verse back in Joshua. You remember Joshua back in Joshua 24? He's getting ready to die, and he challenges the people. In Joshua 24:15, if it's this agreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The challenge is, choose this day. This is the day. Right now. Right here. Tomorrow may be too late. You can die, and if you don't know Jesus, you will go to hell. You will go there. In 2 minutes, the rapture may happen. This may be the last time that the Holy Spirit ever convicts you. If you do not make the right choice right here, right now, it may be too late. Jesus demands that you make a choice if you do not know Him. And I'm going to tell you something. If you reject Him during this time of invitation, you've made your choice. You have said, Jesus, I don't want you. I don't care what you did for me. I want what I want. I don't want you. That's a choice. And when you stand before God at the judgment, it will be too late. Choose today. You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died on the cross because we're all sinners. And sin will send us to hell. And in His great love, He came and He made a stand. And He, in spite of His truth and love and all the good things He did, they crucified Him, and He paid on that cross for our sins. And if you would believe in Him and you would have faith in Him and be willing to turn from your sins and turn to Him, you can be saved today. And you need to choose Him today if you've never done that. It's important to do that. Jesus, listen to me carefully. Jesus is intolerant toward people, write this down, who make the wrong choice. And someday, if you make the wrong choice, you will stand before God. And Jesus is going to be there too. And Jesus is going to look. And you're going to say, well, Jesus, I went to church. I grew up in the church. I went to church. I taught Sunday school. I sang in the choir. I led worship. I did this. I did that. I went on mission trips. I did all of this stuff. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. You made the wrong choice. You chose doing all those other things thinking that was going to be good enough, and it's not. Make the right choice, because when the judgment comes, Jesus is going to look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you. Remember always that Jesus' intolerance was based on love. God so loved the world that He sent Jesus. He has love that can bear any hurt, that can bear any harm, that comes to those who love Him. And if you're here and you're a Christian and you're struggling because of whatever, like the Edwin Robinson we read about, told you about earlier, you may be struggling. His love covers that. But you must turn from your sin and turn to Him. Well, our verse said, He that is not with me is against me. Are you with Jesus today? If you're not, you're against Him. Let's pray. Father, I turn this time of invitation over to You. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone that's never accepted You, that today they would come to surrender to You. You're such a loving and good God. But Lord, You're also one that will not tolerate sin, and You will not tolerate anyone that does not know Your Son Jesus as their Savior. We turn this time over to You in Jesus' name. Keep your heads bowed.